This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross. George Allman and Mark Mahady have the weekend off. And we have a special guest coming in a little bit to fill in. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Looks like it's going to be a pretty nice weekend, actually, here in San Diego.
I think so. Proper temperatures and for Mother's Day.
Yeah, which is coming up tomorrow.
Crazy busy yesterday at the nursery, with people prepping and grabbing everything blooming in sight.
I think it's going to be busy today too.
Could be one of the first days of this year where we sold more non-vegetables than vegetables.
That doesn't happen very often. No, it does not. Was it last week that we got the citrus order in? It was last week.
Yes.
Yeah, so we somewhat restocked, although I don't know how much of it is left.
Partially. And I got a little bit more because they were limiting the quantities you could order. So I placed two orders to get us kind of semi-stocked up. But now it's all gone again. They have nothing, no more citrus available. So
just amazing.
Some holiday and little avocados in and 5 gallon this week as well.
We actually have a decent selection of avocados right now, which is kind of surprising, but they look pretty, and they look pretty good too. Relatively tall.
They're nice looking plants. I normally have this information at my fingertips, but just so everybody knows, the moon is 9.3180% full this morning. I didn't see it because it was overcast.
Yeah, I didn't either.
But it should be nice and temperate. A perfect day, week or weekend to get out and play in the garden.
Yeah, I actually planted some stuff during this past week when I got home from work. So we'll see what happens.
I still have a shelf full of plants to plant, but I did harvest potatoes yesterday. I'm very excited about this potato thing. The first third, I don't remember how I planted them, I must have planted them in some order, because the first chunk of the raised straw bale that I harvested was all fingerlings. And I think we had French fingerlings and something else. We had two little fingerlings.
Yeah.
And yesterday I got into the full-sized purples and reds, which I'm kind of excited about. I went up and microwaved a potato for the first time in probably a year yesterday afternoon. Yeah, evening. And it was quite tasty.
Do you remember to poke it with a fork so it didn't explode?
I poked it with a fork three times beforehand, and I still was waiting for it to explode. But if you think about a microwave, it's kind of a perfect little explosion detention device, right? Isn't that, if you were watching the bomb squad and they had a bomb, they'd throw it into something that looked like a microwave, wouldn't they? Except for the window on the front?
Yeah.
To contain the explosion?
I know years ago, my best friend and I did an experiment. We microwaved an egg.
Wait a minute. Don't try this at home.
No.
This was done by a wise
couple
person
of idiots
on a closed track. Okay, please continue.
I think we set the timer for 5 minutes, and we sat there and we watched and watched and watched. Oh, and we made a containment device of two plastic cups taped together.
Yeah, that'll do it.
And we sat there, set it for 5 minutes, and we sat there and watched it and watched it and watched it, and we're down to about 4 minutes and 50 seconds. I'm like, oh, this, nothing's gonna happen, and bam, and the thing exploded, and there was hard cooked egg everywhere inside the it just completely disintegrated, and took us about an hour to clean out the microwave.
I was going to ask, did you leave that for mom?
No. We had to clean up the evidence. That was for sure. But yeah, eggs will explode if you put them in the microwave.
Okay, I can
attest to that. Yeah, don't do that.
But the containment device did work.
Well, the microwave.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Not your cups and tape.
Our containment device did not.
You know, it's funny when you were saying that, I was going to say you had hard-boiled egg all over, but it was cooked, and you properly said that.
Yes, I did.
When you hard-cook an egg, I always use the word boiled, except for if I'm frying.
Yeah.
But
there you go. Anyway.
I digress.
We have a special guest today, Farmer Roy Wilburn from Cadence at Poway Gardens is here today. Did I get that right?
You got it right. Oh, hit it right on the head. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Roy. Thank you very much for getting up early and coming in to talk with us today.
This is late for me. So.
That's what you were saying.
And thanks for the phone call this morning to remind me that late wasn't late.
Yeah, it's kind of dead here in La Jolla this morning.
Yeah, it's a little quiet over on the side of the tracks. Why don't you tell people a little bit about what you do, Roy?
Well, I'm the director of horticulture at Cadence at Poway Gardens. We're in a memory care community. All of our residents have some form of dementia, but basically all Alzheimer's. And we're an 86-bed facility. We're spread out over 32 acres. We have five six-bedroom country-style homes and two larger facilities, three levels of care. And what kind of separates us from the rest of the gang is we the world of horticulture. So we have or five little organic gardens, total about 40, 50-foot rows, and we'll produce over 25,000 pounds of fresh organic fruits and vegetables for our residents, families in need, and there's probably not a caregiver around that doesn't get a tomato or 20 pounds a week here pretty soon. And we also sponsor a food bank garden on site that a lot of benevolent volunteers in our RB Poway area. They come every morning and they work in the garden, and they'll do about 7,000-8,000 pounds of fruits and vegetables for families in need in the area, which since COVID happened seems to have quadrupled. So there's a lot of people that need some fresh veggies, some nutritious stuff for their diet. We have a greenhouse. We have a lot of horticultural therapy classes for our residents. We have an intergenerational program. We have a children's garden where we get homeschooled and preschooled kids.
Okay, slow down. What is an intergenerational program?
We get little kids. We grow little gardeners. And so they have their own little garden. They come a couple times a month. They work in the garden. They learn how to grow. They love to harvest. They love to eat. And then they go to our beautiful little greenhouse setting, and their pseudo grandmothers and grandpas are waiting for them. And they bond, and they do, it's like my little sweatshop for the next half hour, and they do all my seeding, and they repot plants and tell jokes. That's the best thing. They tell jokes and crack up the residents, and it's just a beautiful thing.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Now, you use the greenhouse basically just for starting?
Starting stuff? Almost all of our plants, except for the lettuce that I get from Walter Anderson's, are started in our greenhouse. It's right now packed with succulents that we're going to be replanting all over the facility. A lot of extra plants go to school gardens in our area also. So we're very supportive of the school gardens. We love school gardens.
I look at you, Roy, and you're a rough looking dude.
Thank you.
But you are the sweetest individual when it comes to talking about your facility and your people, your residents, and both ends of the generation. There's a totally different person in here.
Farmer Roy, people dig Farmer Roy. All right. They don't know the real Roy. But well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
It's neat to hear you talk about this, and I'm sure both the residents and the kids get a lot out of it. And I'm guessing probably even hardened Roy, Farmer Roy, gets something out of it as well.
Yeah, I've worked with kids on the side as my kids were growing up, did a lot of coaching, did a lot of coaching. I got one grandchild now, and I got another one on the way, so they'll be joining the garden club too.
Excellent. Now, is most of what you grow annual crops, or do you have fruit trees and perennials?
We
stuff as well?
Have two orchards. We probably total around 35 trees. We have, and then in our little gardens, it's, you know, tomatoes, broccoli, cauliflower, things like that. So I guess those would be considered annuals. And we turn those over every week. We're turning stuff over and replanting and planting.
So this is something that goes on all year round.
I'm there all the time. I'm always there in the garden. We're harvesting. We're planting every week, and we're harvesting every week.
Okay, just to a reminder, as a participant in the Master Gardener program, I have a green bag with a letter from you saying it's sometime I get to come fill it up with vegetables for being a Master Gardener presenter.
That
so
is correct.
Don't forget, when would be the best time? When is the best?
I would say
harvest?
June, July, August are. I mean, if you like your warm season crops, if you like tomatoes, peppers, broccoli, tomatoes, peppers, eggplant, things like that, come June, July. July okay. is our huge month. We've been crawling around doing about 1,500 pounds a month for the last few months, but that's going to kick up big time. We'll do like 7,000 a month.
Well, even 1,500 pounds this time of year, that's pretty impressive because it's still relatively early.
Yeah, well...
I've been
doing
still
it for almost
in.
11 years, so I got a little planning plan that works really well, and we've, you know, varietal selection, things like that. And
so what are you harvesting now?
Well, we got the last of our broccoli and cauliflower.
Okay.
And then which segues now into our warm season stuff, and I'll have tomatoes in about 10 days. I'll have cucumbers for the first time in a week. I've been drowning in zucchini right now. And we'll probably have we'll have bell peppers in a couple weeks, and then the last of our spring stuff, eggplant, will be in about a month off. So, and then we'll keep rolling with that before you know it, we're planting broccoli and cauliflower and lettuce again. So we do lettuce almost all year long, except for about 2 months of the year.
July and August, you take a break, right?
Yeah, we take a break, and it's not even it's just. Watching lettuce melt in 100-degree weather is not my cup of tea, but we do a lot of, you know, lettuce is something that we need on a weekly basis. We can't process it. We can't store it, so it's got to be fresh every week. That's why I come visit you guys every week for two flats of romaine lettuce, and that goes in. We hide it everywhere. It gets no special treatment. I hide it between all my plantings, and works out really good. Nice. It's delicious and nutritious.
You know, you've told us how much you harvest from this. How much space is dedicated to the vegetable gardens?
Well, again, the best way to imagine is we roughly have 40 50-foot rows. So if you do the math, it's probably less than a quarter of an acre. Less than a quarter of an acre.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
The yield is...
Well, I was a commercial grower in Baja for 20 years. So quantity and quality were the name of the game. So I really only know one speed.
And the place you were used to work down in Baja is down near Todos Santos, right? Isn't that where the farm
well,
was?
Well, that's where we expanded to. I started in San Quintin.
Yeah, there was a lot of...
Yeah.
Well, it's 20 years ago since I was down there. But, yeah, there was a lot of...
Yeah,
I
went to school at UCSD and married the farmer's daughter, and she goes, my dad's looking for somebody with a science background, and I studied.
You went to school?
I went to study math. I graduated mathematics out of UCSD, my friend. And look at you now. Yeah, I know.
Just like an onion peeling back the layers on Farmer Roy.
Yeah, but she goes, my dad's a big grower in Baja, and he's looking for somebody to mold, and I loved Baja. So I said, okay, this sounds good. So I went down there, and then we ended up expanding all the way down toward Todos Santos, and we had another large ranch down there. So,
Roy, we need to take a quick break. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We'd love to talk to you. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, George Allman, and Mark Mahady have the weekend off. And we have a special guest, farmer Roy Wilburn from Cadence at Poway Gardens is here talking to us about his horticultural program and all of the production that your farm does every year.
Yeah, we're busy in the garden.
That's what it sounds like. And, you know, to grow that much stuff has got to get everything ready to go. It's got to take some prep work.
Yeah, I inherited the 50-foot rose I'm growing in right now. But any row that we have usually has like three looks to it a year. I mean, there'll be like a tomato row right now, then somewhere in August there'll be a broccoli row, and then somewhere in November that'll be a cauliflower row, and then bingo, we're back into the spring stuff. So we're constantly prepping the rows, and, you know, after 10 years doing this three or four times a year, Poway soil is pretty...
Fertile?
Infertile.
Oh.
I was trying to be polite here.
well done.
Yeah. Hey, you like that? I got briefed. The more you prep your soil, the more you work it, the more you grow, it just gets better and better if you do it right.
What do you typically use for soil amendment?
So, like, for example, yesterday I harvested the last broccoli, and that row will be turned with the shovel. We will add basically four things to everything that we prep, all our rows that we prep for the next planting, and that is the compost. We have a compost site on at our place. It's not nowhere near enough compost, so I have to source out. Composted chicken manure, worm castings, and probably the most important out of all of that would be the some type of pre-plant fertilizer. So that goes with that. We don't even think that those boom all the time, every time. Then we plant, and then some type of subsequent fertilization will be required depending on the crop.
All of the gardens are organic?
Yes, totally. We'd do 40,000 pounds if it wasn't. No, yeah, all organic, that's for sure.
Interesting. I forgot what I was going to say. Dude.
Well, you're planting tomatoes in that same space year after year.
Yeah, if you do the math, it's kind of impossible. I mean, people ask me, why don't I, or why should I, or how come I don't?
How come?
Because, well, the biggest fear with tomatoes are nematodes mm-hmm. in the soil. So if you're a master gardener or been preached to by a master gardener, you tend to rotate those things around. My advice to people that like to grow tomatoes is at least include some nematode-resistant varieties. All the tomatoes I grow, except for the ones in the children's garden, all have nematodes. They're all resistant to nematodes. But upon planting, we also add beneficial nematodes that you can get at your local Walter Anderson.
Oh, and, thank you so much.
Yeah. I don't know if it really works, but it's just,
it
you know,
works
I,
for you.
Yeah. I tell you, I the story I tell people, there was a 100-foot row, 250-foot rows I planted years back, and somebody gave me this variety called Delicious Tomato. So it was an heirloom type, and it did not have nematode resistance. I got zero tomatoes out of that. I pulled all those out, put some beneficial nematodes in the soil, and then put in the no-brainer, best, easiest nematode-resistant variety, Celebrity, which happened to be named at our ranch in Mexico, in that row, and we got 900 pounds of tomatoes out of that. So.
And that was with or without nematodes?
That was
beneficial nematodes.
That we apply the benefit. So it was. But I got a feeling. I mean, just because things are labeled resistant doesn't mean you're not going to notice these big nasty galls in the roots when you pull the plants out. But you will get a crop.
Okay. Before we go beyond and forget to come back to it, Celebrity was named at your farm?
Yeah.
Do tell.
I worked very, because I was like the only gringo in our area that had a college education. All the seed companies around loved to, we were trendsetters. I mean, we were the first to use drip irrigation, and my variety trials were famous. And so all the seed companies would come to us with all their new varieties, and it just so happened Pito Seed Company, which was developed that variety, was right next door to us. They had a seed production place in San Quintin. And so we trialed a lot of those, and it was a hit, and so anyway.
It was a celebrity amongst the other tomatoes.
They came out with a series of stuff that was all associated with Celebrity and All Star and stuff like that. So,
well, for the first probably 10 years I worked at Walter Anderson Nursery, every year when tomato season started, we would get a bunch of 6-packs of Celebrity tomatoes.
Yeah,
we would pot them into little 3-inch. Or 4-inch pots,
uh-huh.
And Mrs. Anderson would take them to Christ Lutheran in La Jolla. Or
in Pacific.
Yeah. Yeah. It was always Celebrity because it did so well.
Yeah.
And it ties back to you.
Well, Ed, thank you. We grow a lot of, I mean, I'll do about 600 tomato plants a year in our gardens. We, for the spring deal, we put in like 280. I've added now another 120. Every month we put a little bit more. It's that whole philosophy of successive planting. So you don't necessarily have to use up all your garden at one shot, but you definitely want to capitalize on the dynamic spring crop that you can do in San Diego.
Since I have you on air and on the spot right now, would you do me a favor this year? And when you next time you do beneficial nematodes in a row of your tomatoes,
uh-huh.
Would you not do 5 feet or 10 feet? And do the rest of the row of the same things, oh. And see if there's a difference.
Sure, or I'll do it in your garden.
I guess.
No,
brilliant, Forrest. I didn't even think about that.
I could.
So, what are your favorite tomato crops?
Varieties.
Yeah,
you can't.
So basically we grow determinate tomatoes, which facilitates the concept of successive plantings because. I like a lot of tomatoes. I like to pick a few and then a little more and then a whole bunch. I like to drown the kitchen. I like to make their life miserable for like 3 months. And then, so to answer your question, there's a variety called BHN1021 that you can get seed from Johnny Selected Seed.
These are not going to be varieties that we normally see in the trade.
You probably have to come not. To me for that. But Johnny Selected, there's actually a lot of seed companies that have that variety, but that one, I just kind of stumbled on it. It works very well. It has nematode resistance. It grows about 4 or 5 feet tall. Loads up like crazy. It has really decent size. And but then right now, next week, or when was it? Last week, I planted some tomatoes in to mid-June. Then I use another variety called Mountain Fresh, which is a much smaller variety. But it's much larger fruit. I've won awards for the largest fruit with that variety. It's a big, fat tomato. But it's a very compact plant because if you – in Powell, east of Highway 15 is another world, man. I used to grow tomatoes on the coast. But east of Highway 15 is – it's different. And when you plant, when it's really, really hot, that BHN just just grows way too fast. It's just way too tall. And
now, just for everybody who's listening, determinant versus indeterminate tomatoes, you want to give us a quick rundown of why determinant and what the difference
determinant,
is?
Determinant, you'll get a more concentrated set. Forget about everything you read on the internet that you'll harvest one time. No, you will harvest multiple times, but after a month or so, you're going to run out of tomatoes on that thing. So it grows to like 4 or 5 feet tall, or 3 to 5 feet tall. Indeterminates grow like all your heirlooms, all your 99.9% of your cherry tomatoes are all indeterminate in nature, which means they just grow really, really, really tall. I've seen 20-foot ones in greenhouse operations. Ours, in our little children's garden, we have like 48 cherry tomatoes in there. We have like 11 varieties. And they'll grow like 12 feet tall, 10 feet tall, and start to fall over and turn over, and it turns into a jungle, and the kids just love it. And the residents love it, too.
Because they will continue to grow and fruit.
They will grow and grow and grow. You'll get a hand here, your heirloom tomatoes are indeterminate, so you'll get like a little hand, and then a couple weeks later, you'll have some more tomatoes. Another week later, you have a tomato or two. And
that's like, that's why the indeterminates are great for flooding the kitchen, because the majority of them ripen at the same time.
The determinants will flood. Yeah, that's like one or two fruit, then seven or eight, then boom.
Well, I can also see if you're rotating crops all year round too, having the determinant variety. So it comes in, gets done, you take it out, and you put something else in.
Yeah, our little planting plan works good. I mean, good for me. The kitchen gets a little stressed, but it's just we'll do February planting, April planting, May planting, June planting, and end with a little July planting.
Last year there was a little shortage in my garden. I had a little extra space because there was no one to provide me with any Favoritas or Novas. I was told there was a seed situation at Cadence at Poway Gardens, and that it would be made up to me in 2021. Do you believe that's going to be made up to me in 2021? Will I have
plants are already in. Plants have fruit on them, and don't have any extra plants for you. But you do have a green Cadence of Poway Gardens bag, and when you come, you're welcome anytime in a couple weeks to come pick all the cherry tomatoes you want. Favorita and Nova are in the trial.
That's a very, very nice way of saying, no, David, I don't have a plant for you, but I will supply you with some fruit.
To be perfectly honest, I forgot all about you.
Thanks, Roy.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross and our special guest, Roy Wilburn from Cadence at Poway Gardens. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross and our special guest, Farmer Roy Wilburn from Cadence at Poway Gardens. During the break, we were talking about
macho tomato or mucho tomato.
What?
Oh, during the break. I was thinking, I was just thinking as we were coming out of the break listening to Garden Party, you can't please everybody. I just was. That's part of our theme every time we do this. But anyway,
you can please yourself.
What were we talking about in the break?
Nematodes.
Nematodes. Yes.
Which they're insidious little
creatures.
Little creatures.
That was close.
Yeah.
So you use them every year.
Yeah.
And you plant tomatoes in the same places every year, which is totally verboten.
Yeah.
So just real quickly, how do you do it? You come in and get them out of our refrigerator.
So come and get them out, and you get the ones that are designated for root knot nematode.
Mm-hmm.
The root, like I think they call it fungal net and root knot exterminator.
That is what they call it.
Yeah.
I believe that is the case. Yeah.
So the technical name.
Yeah. But there are other beneficial nematodes to combat other problems. But those are the ones that you want if root knot nematode is your problem, which is a little microscopic wireworm that you cannot see, and you don't know that you have it until you wonder why your plant keeps asking for more food and water and looking ugly. And then the best advice I can give you is when you pull, and tomatoes are, you know, notorious for that because they're in the ground a long time. So the longer things are in the soil, the more apt or prone they are to this problem. But when you pull your tomato plants, if you look at the roots and if they're all gnarled and ugly looking, you got a problem. So we try to use resistant varieties, but don't let that stop you from not growing that big, beautiful, striped, warped, ugly looking heirloom that you just got to have, or cherry tomato. But it's very easy. You cut the packet open. You get I get a 4 gallon bucket of a Homer bucket of and fill it full of water. It's got to be slightly warm, not hot, a little tepid. Put it in there, spin it around. I pour that into little watering cans, and then I'll have my planting holes already set out, and then I'll just walk down the row and pour it in, plant, and cover it up. And
you will use a one packet to about how many feet of row?
I think the packet says like 500 to 800 square feet, so I definitely double up on that. You know, I mean, I'll put a packet and I'll cover as many as 450-foot rows, 200 linear feet. So.
And you just pour it along and then water it in.
And water it in.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try that.
Or
this
even
year.
When you're prepping a row prior to like shaping your beds and things like that, you could put it down And then I'll even hit the little six packs or whatever I got my tomatoes in, trays. I'll give them a little shot.
So that the beneficial nematodes are around the roots of the
That's
new
right.
plants.
Yeah.
That is brilliant.
I would have
never thought about it in that.
I'm a genius.
Well, I heard you're mathematically inclined. I'm learning all sorts of new stuff. When we were talking to you before, you were telling us what you do at Cadence. And right before you'd mentioned intergenerational gardening, which I've heard you talk about and I've actually seen you do before, which is really neat. You mentioned something else too, which was horticultural therapy. And what I know what it does for me.
Yeah.
I know the summer and having sunlight when I get home from work and being able to go out in the garden and harvest potatoes in the afternoon is really therapeutic for me. What does it mean in terms of Cadence?
Well, we used to have like 7 groups of kids with special needs come and help out in the gardens and whatnot. And when that stopped because we couldn't have volunteers come and help, we actually kicked up our horticultural therapy program. And horticultural therapy is basically the practice of engaging people in plant and gardening activities to prove their minds and bodies and spirits. And so we were doing that on a very small scale with certain residents, and we get them at the greenhouse and or in the gardens. We got a really active group right now, seniors. It's really a lot of fun. We get them out in the garden, or I go, hey, there's a weed there. And then all of a sudden, boom, the whole row will be weeded. It's like an OCD thing. And I call it magic, really, because I've seen some of our residents come to me and in our group setting, and again, these are all people with Alzheimer's. Some are a little agitated, and then after a couple minutes of just talking and, well, actually touching plants and smelling plants and seeding, repotting plants or getting in the garden, they change, and it's all smiles. And you get all these cognitive benefits, you get all these physical benefits, these physiological benefits, but it all leads to the social benefits. And then we all start interacting and talking and bringing up stuff. And
do you get stories from gardening stories from the past when this is going on? I imagine there's some pretty neat stories that come out.
Incessantly, because we seem to have a group, a lot of residents now from the Midwest. So like corn is always a big topic, you know. So with corn in Iowa and blueberries in Michigan and tomatoes in Fresno and being in San Diego and everything that you can grow here in San Diego, it all just triggers memories. I mean, they probably have a hard time remembering what they had for breakfast, but boom, all of a sudden they see something or they see a basil plant and they go, oh man, I'm from Sicily and God, this reminds me of pesto in my grandmother's kitchen, and it's a beautiful thing.
It's difficult for me to look at you and see this softer side of you. It's wonderful. It's yeah. Amazing to hear that, and it must be great for them to be able to share that, and you getting to hear it is. Yeah. Probably pretty neat.
Yeah, no, it's they're phenomenal, and again, it's exciting. We spent last week just talking about monarch butterflies. We have like a little habitat around the greenhouse where we plant milkweed and pentas and buddleias, and just seeing it. And right now, everything's blooming, and you know, ladies with roses is like, oh my God, it's like they've died and gone to heaven, you know, and they walk away with a handful of roses, and we got all our like pin cushions are popping right now. I'll have Prody around the corner, and they just love it. They, you know, ladies and flowers is happy Mother's Day, you know.
Yeah,
every
neat.
Day's a Mother's Day.
That's neat. It's neat to hear you relate this all to us. What was I going to go with that? I had something. Don't know. It
must not have been very important.
No, it was.
Well, it brought up an interesting question, at least that I had. In addition to the vegetable and the fruit crops that you grow, do you have a section set aside for herb crops?
Yeah, we have. Actually, I was the grower for. An herb operation in Oceanside for 3 years. And that's actually where I kind of busted my chops in the world of organics. And I love to cook, and herbs are critical to make good food, great cuisine. And yes, to answer your question, we have a little section in the garden for fresh herbs, and we'll even grow stevia, and we have basil, and then when I got my little perennial area there full of oregano and thyme and rosemary we use as a landscaping plant, so mm-hmm. that does not get its own special area. I mean, it's like everywhere.
Yeah, we have a big rosemary plant out in the backyard, and Melanie's always going out there and
it's beautiful.
Cutting branches off
yeah,
of it. To,
yeah, to it doesn't take much either. You can destroy a meal with too much rosemary, but it's a beautiful landscaping, you know, that's your typical Mediterranean.
I would say you could destroy a meal with any rosemary, but does not take much.
Yeah.
You know, one thing we haven't touched on is pest control.
Yeah.
So what's your game plan as far as keeping
Again, in the world of organics, getting in and out with something's very important. So we plant cucumbers. I'll be planting cucumbers next week for the fourth time already this year. And we do cucumbers every 3 weeks. I plant 50 feet. Every 3 weeks, 50 feet.
Until when?
Last planting will be sometime in August. So I'll do like 9 plantings total starting in March. And I just let those grow in the ground. I don't pull them. And I'm not saying don't pull your cucumbers, because they will be – they will last longer and they will be straighter. But in my world, cucumbers like lettuce is something we can't really make marinara out of. And I've never had cucumber soup other than in gazpacho and things like that. And we ain't making dill pickles. So I have like a row I'm planting. I'm a row about 10 days from harvest, and one row that I've been harvesting for a while, and they just come and go and come and go. But to answer your question, things like pole beans are really nice. It's that vertical thing in your backyard where it doesn't take up much space. But the longer it's in the ground, aphids or powdery mildew are probably going to find it. And we spray. I wish I tell people to spray certain things at a certain frequency. I never seem to have time to do that. But again, in the world of organics, if it's OMRI approved by the Organic Materials Research Institute, you know, Bacillus thuringiensis for worms and insecticidal soap, that those are my two go-to sprays in the world of organics.
Oh, those would usually take care of pretty much anything that you're going to have a problem with.
And cucumbers, heat resistance, they don't do well when it gets hot. If they're younger plants and you're just cycling through them, then it doesn't matter. You're going to get the crop regardless.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no problem producing cucumbers.
I could have used that answer yesterday for a customer. Why didn't you tell me this yesterday?
Your pat answer is go talk to Farmer Roy.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, sorry. Thank you for coming to Walter Anderson Nursery. Go talk to Farmer Roy.
Yeah. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back.
Wicked garden place. Miles around.
With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, George Allman, and Mark Mahady. Have the weekend off, so we have Farmer Roy from Cadence at Poway Gardens in talking to us today.
Well, I was going to ask you, I know intergenerational was a big part of your weekly programs at Cadence, and because of COVID, that had to pause.
Stop.
It had to pause. And it is back on. Is that correct? Because I know it was
Even when COVID was like raging, we had to think outside the box to keep the kids around. So we did a series of drive-bys, you know, which it was fun. It was, the kids loved it. They got to get out, but you know, everybody's got to be masked up and everything. But I got the green light to bring the kids back to with the residents again under safe protocol, and The real initiation on that was a few weeks ago for Earth Day. So we had a big Earth Day celebration, and we got a Master Gardener friend, Heather Holland from the Master Gardeners, who is like the worm queen. And so we have worm bins, so we did worms. We did a butterfly teaching segment, and then we got together with the residents and it just played.
Everybody benefits from that, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's the kids learned how to garden, and they learned the importance of volunteering, and they, a lot of them don't have their real grandpas and grandmas are probably not around physically or logistically, and you know,
it's
old people like dogs and kids. It's a beauty.
You know, one of the things that you had brought up too, David, was you work with Abraxas School as well.
Yeah. We, 10 years ago when I started, I only knew of one school garden, and that was, it hadn't even started. The guy came up to me and goes, "Hey, I got grandkids at Rolling Hills and we want to put it in a garden." And so we got into that, and it just, I don't know, it's kind of a passion now for me. But 5 or 6 years ago, a teacher at Abraxas High School, it's a transition continuation school in Poway, and he comes up to me and he goes, "Hey, you know, would you be willing to take a look at this? We have a plan for reconverting this tennis court into an area to garden. And so we talked about it, and he had a plan for like 40 raised beds. And I said, fine. So I gave him some tips on, you know, what to do and how to do it. Gave him plants and irrigation tips. And then it just, and in the back of my mind, I'm going, man, that is a plan. Good luck with that, buddy. You know, working with school.
See ya.
Working with the school district. And it just seemed like a nightmare. But a couple months later, they had what they call a construction crew. Like in the old days, we'd have wood shop and metal shop. Actually, there's schools that still do that. And again, this is a school where the kids need a little extra help. And so the teacher, they had the gardening guy there. Then they had the construction dude there. And then the biology teacher got involved. Now the biology teacher, basically Bob Lutengen, runs the whole show there now. And then somebody donated an aquaponic setup, a very large aquaponic setup. So they put that in. After a while, they go, that's too small for what we have in mind. And so the construction crew went into the tennis court and with jackhammers and rebar, and they put this big jacuzzi looking thing in, and they raised tilapia there. All that water goes, it's an aqua, it's a stellar school garden. They have won national awards. In fact, Bob has missed the cut by two people on the Kelly and Ryan show for national money awards and recognition, but they've won, you know, with working with the Poway Valley Garden Club helps out there too. The community volunteers there. But they have right now, they've got this set up with like 800 tilapia in there, the pee and poop in the water. And can I say poop?
You just did. So that's what they tell me.
In the water. And they had the construction crew build these concrete 8 raised bed areas. They're like floating raised beds where they'll grow 1,300 head. Right now, there's 1,300 heads of lettuce growing there from different stages of growth. And then all that goes into their 40 raised bed. And I'm telling you, I mean, I'm happy with my gardens, but I go there and it puts mine to shame sometimes because they're getting all this beautiful nutritious water going through their garden, and it's beautiful. And so they got 40 raised bed. They got and then they got this huge grant a couple years back, and they put in this whole culinary section there that would like put many restaurants. They would be very, very stoked to have a setup like that with all this outdoor kitchen equipment. So they are now having culinary classes at the school. So the kids work in the garden. They learn how to grow. They learn how to build things. They've even built raised beds for some of the other schools. And there's like 26 schools in the Poway Unified School District now that have gardens. Don't know what they look like right now. Well, you guys have been beneficial helping in the past. And so this summer, a posse of mine, we're going to go check out, see what they all doing and see what shape they are, since some of the moms got to like jump the fences on Saturday when nobody's looking and water the garden. And, it's kind of crazy, but things should be back to normal soon. But Abraxas, as a matter of fact, today is having a fundraiser. And if you're in the RB, looking for something to do today, go by Abraxas High School. They're on Palmerado Road in Poway. If you live in the RB Poway area, just go by. I mean, if you've driven down Palmerado Road, you want to know what the heck is going on at that tennis court.
Well, people have asked me what nursery that is at the corner of Palmerado. Do you know what the cross street is there? And if you don't, I'll look it up.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Okay, you keep going with what you're going to
say. Anyway, so they're having a little fundraiser, and so they'll have the kids out there. They're going to have, like, salsa and little snacks. They'll have succulents for sale. And it's just an eye-opener to take a look what's going out of that garden. And they'll do, like, 2,000, 3,000 pounds of produce a year. All that gets donated except for what they eat there, which will be a little bit they will donate that also to families in need through our food bank
It says Glen Oak Road.
That's
so,
it.
So Pomerado Road and Glen Oak Road. It looks like a little nursery there. It's there at the corner.
Yeah, you can't miss it. I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. I invite you guys to come on by today, too.
I might do that. You know, that's pretty impressive. 26 schools in the school district, and they all have some kind of a garden operation going on.
Yeah, that was prior, right, when COVID hit. Then I don't know where we stand right now.
Oh, but, that's true. Yeah,
but was out. At least the infrastructure's there. So, yeah. And hopefully in September we can get back on.
Well, it's interesting because you know we supported. My kids all went to Dingman Elementary School, which is in San Diego Unified over in my neighborhood in Scripps Ranch. And there were a couple of teachers that really wanted to get into gardening. So we donated some stuff to get it started, but it just never took hold.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Master gardeners are a resource now. I mean, they are devoted to the school gardens.
Very interesting.
Well, thank you very much, Roy.
My pleasure, guys.
It's kind of nice to have some real information for once.
it's all the God's truth right there.
Thank you very much for coming in, Roy. We really appreciate it. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back with more Garden Talk next Saturday. Tomorrow, happy Mother's Day, everybody. Hope you have a wonderful day and a great weekend. We will talk to you soon.
See you later.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.